Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. Coming up today, all aboard the Caritas Express. Our very own Emma McCarthy joins special guests and delegates from Caritas groups in countries around the world aboard an ancient steam train making the journey from the Vatican to Orvieto to mark the 60th anniversary of the global confederation Caritas Internationalis. But first, at his Regina Caeli address on Sunday, Pope Benedict calls on Christians to combat all forms of violence, as he recalls the International Ecumenical Peace Convocation, organised by the World Council of Churches in Kingston, Jamaica. Thousands of pilgrims and visitors gathered in a sunny St. Peter's Square at midday on Sunday to join Pope Benedict for the recitation of the Regina Caeli and to hear his reflections on the Gospel reading for this fifth Sunday after Easter. This week, the Pope also sent his thoughts and prayers to all those taking part in an ecumenical peace convocation organised by the World Council of Churches in Jamaica from May 17th to 25th. My colleague Emma McCarthy has the details.
From the open window of his study overlooking St. Peter's Square this Sunday, Pope Benedict XVI made a special request of the 30,000 gathered below, as well as Christians worldwide, asking them for their prayers for the noble cause of combating all forms of violence, be it domestic, social, or international.
I welcome all the English-speaking visitors to join us for this Regina Caeli prayer.
Greeting English-speaking pilgrims after the midday recitation of the Regina Caeli prayer, Pope Benedict called attention to the International Ecumenical Peace Convocation, organised by the World Council of Churches, which is currently underway in Kingston, Jamaica.
The convocation is the culmination of a decade-long programme aimed at combating all forms of violence. Let us join in prayer for this noble intention and recommit ourselves to eliminating violence in families, in society, and in the international community. Regina Caeli, Laetare, Alleluia.
Before the Regina Caeli prayer, commenting on today's Gospel, Pope Benedict XVI reflected on the dual commandment it proposes to us, that we believe in God and believe in Jesus. Speaking in Italian, he said, "Faith in Jesus Christ means following him every day, in simple actions that make up our daily lives, because only by believing in Christ, abiding in him, can his disciples, which include us too, continue his permanent action in history." Pope Benedict continued, "The New Testament put an end to the invisibility of God the Father. The Son of God, by his incarnation, death, and resurrection, has freed us from the slavery of sin to give us the freedom of the children of God and made known to us the face of God, who is love. We can see God. He is visible in Christ."
Dear friends, in the joy of this Easter season, may we be strengthened by the risen Lord to follow him faithfully and to share in his life. Upon you and your families, and all God's abundant blessings. Buona Domenica!
The 19th General Assembly of the Caritas Confederation got underway here in Rome on Sunday afternoon. During an opening mass, the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, told delegates that in the Church's mission, the three tasks of proclaiming the Word of God, celebrating the sacraments, and the service of charity presuppose and are inseparable from one another. On Saturday, just ahead of that opening session, delegates and special guests climbed aboard an ancient steam train at the Vatican station for the short journey to the Umbrian hill town of Orvieto. Among the passengers was Vatican Radio's Emma McCarthy.
Why a train?
That really was the question. As soon as the tall Central American cardinal appeared in our carriage, to the bewilderment of the journalists who were leaning out of vintage train windows like schoolchildren or wiping soot from camera lenses, That was the question we all really wanted to ask. But Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, president of Caritas Internationalis, got there before us. Sitting on the wooden seats of carriage number 7, the penultimate on the Caritas Express, except for the 1930s postal car complete with Hessian sacks, the president of Caritas Internationalis was far from the plush velvet of the parlour carriage, the same one used by past popes, most famously Pope John XXIII on his historic 1962 trip to Assisi. But Cardinal Rodriguez Maradiaga seemed rather comfortable, chatting away in various languages as the 1915 steam engine puffed its way through the rolling Italian countryside. Between one tunnel and the next, and despite the constant fog of coal smoke that invaded the train, he explained why Caritas had decided on a train journey to mark its 60th anniversary and lead into its 19th General Assembly.
It's very interesting because you see the train, it's the union of many efforts, not only the rails, but the wagons, one after another. It's a symbol of how come the love of God can become the love for the neighbor. And now our train in Caritas has 165 wagons. It means 165 nations that are united, forming the big Caritas Confederation.
It was like a great dragon tearing by.
That dragon's house looks like that tunnel. I never thought we'd ever get so near to a train as this.
It's better than toy engines, isn't it?
In reality, the historic Caritas Express train itself consisted of a steam locomotive and 7 carriages, all carefully and lovingly preserved down to the tiniest of details by the Ferrovie dello Stato, the Italian state railway system, even down to the washroom fixtures. One chief steam engine driver and 2 engine stokers, resplendent in period uniforms complete with caps and neck scarves, were already feeding its huge furnace with coal Saturday morning at 8 a.m., bright and early, when passengers began lining the papal platform at the Vatican Railway Station. The station itself is situated just beneath the giant red brick and marble walls that delineate the border between Vatican City State and Italy. Opened originally in 1934 by Paul VI, it is a masterpiece of pre-war architecture, complete with fountains, mosaics, and an impressive chandelier. But the relationship between the popes and the railway stretches further back, beyond the Lateran Treaty of 1929, to when Rome was part of the Papal States and the popes were at the forefront in the construction of railway lines, crisscrossing Italy, connecting east and west. Towns and cities like Frascati, Civitavecchia, Ancona and Bologna. Today the Vatican still uses its tiny 300 metres of train track for rolling stock trains, carrying goods into the small city-state. The Caritas initiative, however, marked the first time passengers have replaced freight since Benedict XVI was elected Pope, and the excitement on Saturday morning was palpable. Vatican gendarme or police struggled to keep children, their parents, ambassadors, bishops and priests back from the tracks as the train drivers pulled pistons and heaved coal. As the allotted hour drew closer, 10 a.m. on the dot, the giant iron doors groaned open across the tunnel, and the engine driver and his stokers descended from the train, dropping to one knee, as they and the train were blessed.
Nel nome del Padre, del Figlio e dello Spirito Santo.
Amen.
Il nostro aiuto è nel nome del Signore. Ladies and gentlemen, today we gather at this historic station, the train platform of the popes, in order to mark an important milestone in the life and service of Caritas Internationalis, the global confederation of national Catholic humanitarian assistance, development and social service organizations that serve poor and vulnerable persons in every part of the world, in accord with the gospel and mandate of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the scripture reading we shall soon hear, Jesus reminds us that he is the way and the truth and the life. During our short journey today from Rome to Orvieto and back, let us reflect on this basic truth of our faith. Let us remember that we are totally dependent on the action of God in our lives, and let us commend the work of Caritas Internationalis as well as our daily activities as individuals and as families to God's constant and unselfish love and mercy. Let us listen to the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord be the guide on your journey so that you may travel in peace and reach eternal life. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Buon viaggio.
Then all clambered on board the seven carriages, and to the hissing of steam and tooting of whistle, the Caritas Express was off, to the delight and bewilderment of Romans perched on their balconies, and train spotters eagerly anticipating the train's path in local train stations. And as the train wound its way through the Italian countryside, Cardinal Rodriguez Maradiaga sat down to talk to us about the 60 years of the Caritas Confederation and the 19th General Assembly with the theme, Zero Poverty, One Human Family.
Driving this union of efforts can't always be easy. How difficult is it to try and unite the entire train of Caritas in the work that it does?
I believe that one of the big achievements of Vatican II is the commitment of the laity and the exhortation to lay men and women that they are members of the Church and that they can participate fully in the life of the Church. And so, Caritas is decentralized. I am not the big chief. I am only a servant, like the director of the orchestra. But without the instruments, we couldn't have an orchestra. That's why every continent has its own vice president, and every nation has its own president. So Caritas works when parishes are participating, when parishes are directed by their own bishop. Their own bishop is directed by the president, local president, and so that's the way they go.
Of course, we are on a train, so we have to take into account the background noise and the tunnels. Let's look at the fact that you're heading into your 19th General Assembly now. What would you see as the areas that present the biggest challenges now to Caritas' work on the ground?
We are still committed for emergencies, but that's not the only one. Caritas is known mainly by this, but our work is not only reduced to helping in emergencies. Our work goes especially to the motto that we have for this assembly and for the future 4 years, I believe, that it's zero poverty, one human family. Poverty is the biggest challenge we have because the world has enough resources to alleviate or maybe to reduce substantially poverty. But there is a missing of political will for that. So through the spreading of the social doctrine of the Church, of course in communion with the Pontifical Commission of Justice and Peace and the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, we are committed to raise the conscience in the peoples that is necessary to overcome poverty. We cannot live in the 21st century continuing with these levels of poverty that is inhumane and is unjust. So we need to enhance our efforts. However, you know, in Latin America, we have been promoting the preferential option for the poor since 1968, after the conference of Medellin. But in my perception, now there are new objectives of this option for the poor that pass necessarily by the reformation or changes in the financial system and the economic system we are living in, because capitalism is producing a big distance between the rich and the poor and is not trying to promote the equality in the world. Exclusion is what we see. We see, for instance, reflecting on the this movements of the young people, especially now in Madrid, but the past months in all the Mediterranean, the north part of Africa. There is a symptom that has to be diagnosed by the international community. It's not possible to continue in this kind of politics where there is exclusion of the great majorities. Especially the young are promoting their participation, and it's necessary to listen to these voices.
This is something you also brought up when you participated in the Justice and Peace Plenary Assembly last week. Very interesting. You're warning that the financial speculation that brought about the first financial crisis, as Benedict XVI has said, you said it again, you know, it's not over, it hasn't ended, that we really haven't learned our lessons from the first crisis.
And you see that the young are protesting against the banks. And of course, when you see how the people, for instance, in the United States, were losing their homes by this foreclosure system. But what happened to the big banks? They just got their own revenues. They got the like a premium, like a reward to those who were not good administrators. They went home, but they went with millions in their pockets. And this is not just. When the poor were losing their homes and the banks were laughing of the system and taking all the billions they wanted. This is not fair. This has to change.
You spoke about the collaboration between Caritas, Cor Unum, and the Council for Justice and Peace. Can you talk to us about that? How do they collaborate among each other, and how important is it that there is coordination between them?
All of us are united by the social doctrine of the Church. This is the main, I would say, the main doctrine we have to spread out. And the consequence taken to the ordinary life is to be solidarious. Solidarity is the new name for peace, where it was John Paul II saying. And also, he was asking us that where there is a big globalization of economy, it was necessary to globalize solidarity. Solidarity is uniting the peoples around the common good, which is one of the principles of the social doctrine. And we need as well to be united as making everyone his own part. Cor Unum is especially delivering the charity of the Holy Father, especially where there is suffering, but are united with us because Caritas, as a confederation, has a place in this kind of work. We are not distributing by ourselves. We are in the name of the Church, and we are in the name of the Holy Father. And then Justice and Peace, promoting the objectives that they have, that is promoting the solidarity, the justice, and the peace in the world, is giving us also our framework, our doctrinal framework, to continue our work.
Un petit train s'en va dans la campagne, un petit train s'en va de bon matin, on le voit filer vers la montagne, tchitchifou, tchitchifou, plein d'entrain dans les prés. Il y a toujours des vaches étonnées de voir encore passer ce petit train qui lâche des panaches.
At exactly 12:13 p.m. on a sunny Saturday afternoon, the Caritas Express, with its load drawn from all four corners of the church and the world, drew into Orvieto, a medieval hilltop town in Umbria, where, to the delight of locals and a very proud and coal-covered engine driver, the whistle announced that the Caritas Express had arrived ahead of time and full of expectation. Passengers and delegates then descended the train and crossed the road to a very different type of transport. A vernacular carriage that was to draw us up the hill towards Orvieto and its famous cathedral, where we were greeted by local church officials and civic authorities. And as we stood in the sun-kissed square beneath the impressive facade of the Orvieto Cathedral, I caught a glimpse of one of the VIP passengers aboard the Caritas Express, U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, Miguel Diaz.
Ambassador Diaz, hi there, Eimear McCarthy from Vatican Radio.
Oh, wonderful.
I was wondering, would you mind just giving us
a quick
soundbite for this event? We're here for the 60th anniversary of Caritas Internationalis, and you've just spent the last 2 hours travelling through Roman countryside on a 1915 steam engine.
You know, it was a wonderful opportunity to travel from Rome to Orvieto, and it's really a great day for Caritas Internationalis and for all of us who work on behalf of the common good. It's a great day to come out and support this great organization that does so much for men and women all over the world, especially men and women in great need. If we recall President Obama's speech in Cairo, one of the great things about the speech, he called upon the world community to put conversations, to turn conversations into actions, so that the common good could be advanced. CRS in the United States is one of those organizations that turns fruitful conversation. It does this all the time. It turns fruitful conversations into actions on behalf of the common good. I had an opportunity during the ride to have a conversation with some of the folks from CRS, and we talked about the great work that they do and the great work that that is done on behalf of many, many, many millions of people, the most needy members of our human family.
And indeed, it was only a few short steps before I literally ran into the delegate from Catholic Relief Services USA, who was chatting animatedly to the delegate from Caritas New Zealand.
So I'm here with two national delegates of the international Caritas family. I'm here with Chris Tucker from Catholic Relief Services in the United States, which is the US branch of the Caritas family, and with?
And Mark Richards from Caritas Aotearoa New Zealand. So
fantastic. Let's begin with your local Caritas. You're bringing the US reality here to this General Assembly. What will you be telling them about CRS and its work?
Well, Catholic Relief Services is in 100 countries around the world. We work in emergencies, relief, development, and justice and peace. The Catholic Church organizations are our partners of preference because we are, at the end of the day, one church.
New Zealand has had a pretty hard time the last couple of months, and we saw Caritas, despite, Catholics being a minority within New Zealand, were at the forefront of helping people who are victims of the Christchurch earthquake. Mm-hmm. Has that really helped people to become aware in New Zealand of what you do, or is it still that is still a major challenge for you?
It's still a major challenge in the sense that we had a major issue within the country of whether we actually went to, in our response, as Caritas. And so the bishop's advice was, the bishop's desire, that we actually went and we went through our normal agencies, because we are primarily for relief and humanitarian has been offshore. So, but it has raised that issue for us of how do we respond to a domestic humanitarian crisis, and that has really challenged both our own organisation and has led to a wider exposure.
So Caritas New Zealand is a very particular mandate, do you?
Our mandate is actually rather wide. It's wide, but it's not domestic in terms of humanitarian. There are social services outreaches which do that. So we do the humanitarian, we do relief, we do development, and then we are the Bishops' Conference's agents with the government in respect of justice issues. So we do a lot of advocacy work at that level. But when it came to domestic crisis, that wasn't something which we've had to experience before.
And what was the experience like?
I suppose I should say publicly, it's been mixed. On one level, the earthquake coincided with our great appeal for the year, which was Lent, and large people, numbers of our Catholic faithful wanted to just give the money straight to Christchurch. And so we had to re-evaluate the way in which so 25% of our Lenten collection has gone directly to Christchurch. So it is a challenge. On the other hand, it has really brought home the commonalities which we have found in that experience with what we've seen in Haiti, in the tsunami, in most of our humanitarian relief. We've actually seen the same issues arriving at the bottom within the challenged socioeconomic groups of our own country. And so that's been a real challenge back to our own community.
But of course, the General Assembly brings together not only national interests but international interests. And CRS perhaps is one of the big brothers or sisters, shall we say, of the Caritas family, because you are really everywhere. And I'm thinking particularly of Haiti that Mark mentioned there, and of Pakistan, because a lot of the focus of Caritas is on the aftermath of these disasters that people forget about once they're outside news headlines.
Well, In Haiti, we were very fortunate that we had been in the country working with local church partners for about 50 years. We had warehouses in Lakai which actually had food stocks in them. So within 24 hours, our team in Lakai was on the road with trucks taking food, relief supplies, up to Port-au-Prince. At the same time, we have an office in Santo Domingo, and they were able to bring supplies, particularly hygienic supplies, in from the Dominican Republic. We were able to mobilize, as I say, literally within 24 hours. And then, of course, over the next several days, as assistance began to come in from other Caritas partners, then there was a coordination role among all of us to ensure that we were working together rather than competing with each other. I think it's a real sign of just how wonderful the presence of the church can be when we come together, whether it's in an emergency situation like Haiti or if it's to tackle development challenges. Now, the work in Haiti will go on for a decade. People, I think, felt that at the one-year anniversary that somehow the problems would be solved. And in reality, at the one-year mark, while much of the immediate relief efforts were phased out, moving people to more transitional or permanent shelters, creating jobs, rebuilding schools and other buildings, that'll take decades.
And CRS will remain there.
Absolutely, yeah. For as long as it takes.
We climbed into the car, drove down into town, right up to the depot house, but no one was around.
And as the sun began to set on Orvieto, the delegates and passengers slowly made their way down the hill towards Orvieto train station, where instead of a 1915 steam locomotive, the Italian state railway system had attached a 1930s engine to seven carriages of the Caritas Express that would pull us, perhaps with less panache, but with decidably increased speed, from Umbria towards Rome, tired, enthusiastic, and ready to head into a week of reflection and debate. The Caritas Confederation General Assembly runs from May 22nd to May 27th in Rome.
Well, how can I explain when my little boy and girl ask me, Daddy, what's the train?
Emma McCarthy reporting there from on board the Caritas Express on Saturday. And that brings us to the end of today's programme. Don't forget you can find all our news and feature programmes on the internet, www.vaticanradio.org/English. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.